Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint today. Can I urge you to get a copy of that book, Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception, $18 to Save America Ministries. Go to our website, saveus.org, become a partner, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Remember, God desires truth in the inward parts.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be your views, because we're doing our Open Line Wednesday on Tuesday. We have somebody else tomorrow evening at the 8 o'clock slot. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear what you'd like to talk about, if you have questions or comments. But I was reading this evening a book about sort of going into the background of Washington, D.C. Now, most people go to Washington, D.C. They say it's a beautiful city. They come, they leave, and don't think much more about it. But, of course, Washington, D.C. is really the center of a cult tradition here in the United States. All those beautiful buildings there with the white marble pillars, and what you don't understand is that it is really certainly a takeoff on ancient Greece. It is an Athens. It's a takeoff on ancient Rome and the cities there in Rome. In fact, you'll see a very definite similarity between the construction of the Vatican in the 1500s and the Capitol building. The dome of the Vatican is very similar to the dome of the Capitol of the United States, Capitol building. And of course, in front of both of them is a phallic symbol, one the Washington Monument, another in the center of St. Peter's Square there. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is all symbolic, deeply symbolic, of the spiritual battle that's taking place today. And the thing is that most people really don't understand that although America was founded predominantly by Christians who wanted this to be a Christian republic, there were a small, well-organized minority who wanted America to replace ancient Greece and ancient Rome as the center of the world empire, this empire that was to dominate the world and fulfill the ancient prophecies laid out at the time of Nimrod. Those of you may have heard me talk about the fact that basically, if you go to Strasbourg in Germany, Strasbourg today, well, you will find there the building where the European Union meets, the Parliament of the European Union. But it's a strange building. The building, of course, is built as if it were incomplete. Now, it's a completed building. They completed it, but it was built to represent the incomplete Tower of Babel, and that's exactly what it was. And the European Parliament is to be the new Parliament of the United States of Europe, which is to precede the United States of Africa and of South America and North America as we move towards consolidating the world exactly as Nimrod intended. But Nimrod failed because God intervened. But the people, of course, who are working behind the scenes will defy God. And in that defiance, they built a building in Strasbourg patterned after the incomplete Tower of Babylon to say, well, of course, Nimrod failed, but we will succeed in bringing about this one world government, the one world financial system, the one world religion, because that's what it's all about, the destruction of Christianity. And that, of course, is why they're doing what they are today, why Christianity is under attack, why they've taken God, prayer, the Ten Commandments, morality of our schools, why so many of our young people are confused, because they're being trained in our public schools with an intense hatred of God. And, of course, they are embracing a system of immorality that is being utilized in our schools. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. It's open lines. Would like to know what you'd like to talk about. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's Open Line Tuesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And what you must understand about our nation's capital is that it was to replace Athens and Rome as the center of this world empire. America was to be a world empire. Now, when our country was founded, this isn't what our people wanted. This isn't what the people want today. This is certainly, people wanted this to be a Christian republic, and certainly the vast majority of the people, 90-95%, wanted this to be a country where there would be freedom of religion, you could embrace any religion you wanted, but people were predominantly Christian. and following Christian traditions. But there was a very, very small group of people, well organized, well financed when America was founded, who understood that America was to bring about this one world tyrannical government. And of course, they couldn't come forward and say what they were doing. They couldn't be any more forthright about what they were doing then than they could now, although it should become apparent to everyone now. But initially, everything was done secretly. But they got their people certainly into key positions, and they helped to design the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And when, of course, you go there and you actually, if you look around, why, you'll find all sorts of occult emblems and symbols and pictures of Francis Bacon, who, of course, was a Rosicrucian, certainly died in 1628, but certainly Bacon was one of these people who laid out this plan for the world government. You'll see his picture there in the Library of Congress. And, of course, if you haven't seen the DVD that we carry by Chris Pinto, it's the second in the three DVD series on the secret mystery of America's beginning, but it takes you into Washington, D.C. It's well worthwhile getting and watching, and you'll see all of the occult emblems there. All over Washington, D.C. now you'll see some Christian emblems too, but the occult emblems certainly outnumber them. And of course, the Christians take people around to see the Christian emblems, and they ignore the occult. But people say, well, is America formed as a Christian nation, or was it formed as an occult nation? It was formed as both, predominantly by Christians, dominantly Christian initially, today dominantly occult and pagan, a nation that's turned against God, because our leaders, of course, the people who control our military, who control our banks, who control our corporations, who control both of our political parties, our educational system, the religious, the seminaries, many of them, and certainly the media, these people have a different goal. And they're using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government and to take us from war to war to war. And they're going to take us into another war, just as they've taken us into many unnecessary wars in the past. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. Something you'd like to talk about? 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, those of you who listen regularly know we've talked a great deal about the Second World War, how 100 major American corporations, both before and during World War II, were building the weapons for the Nazis to use to kill our soldiers. But basically, why should we be surprised? This is a technique that's been used over and over again to create the best enemy money could buy, because if you don't have a well-armed enemy, how can you have a horrible and bloody war? I certainly, it was 1980 when I went back to Yale University and spent several weeks there going through Colonel House's papers there at the Sterling Library. But certainly one of the things I did when I was there was go through the papers of Secretary of War Stimson, the man who headed the War Department, the military, during World War II. And there among his papers was his diary. And I had an opportunity, of course, to go through the Secretary of War Stimson's diary. And there, of course, on November 25th, 1941, Stimson talks about having gone to the White House, and there were only five people at the meeting. One was President Roosevelt, one was George Catlett Marshall, one was Admiral Stark, one was Secretary of the Navy James Forrestal. And basically, the President of the United States, meeting with his chief military advisors, told them, the Japanese are going to attack probably next Monday. We're anticipating it probably next Monday. Now, he was about a week off, but he said, you know, and Chris, they will, but we have to get the Japanese to fire the first shot. We want to get into a war, but the only question is how we're going to get the Japanese to fire the first shot. So they left our boys there at Pearl Harbor to be slaughtered. They knew the attack was coming. Did you ever stop and wonder, ladies and gentlemen, how they had all those cameras set up on Sunday morning? to take all those pictures. Now, remember, this was Sunday morning in Pearl Harbor, and, of course, everybody was in shirts. So, basically, what happened was that somebody had ordered those cameras set up. I mean, it takes a long time to get out those clumsy, big motion picture cameras they used at that time. And yet, they had them all set up and ready to go when the initial attack came, so they could get the pictures, so they could plant those pictures in your mind of the wicked Japanese who, of course, were attacking America. But ladies and gentlemen, we're already at war with Japan, would put sanctions on Japan, so they couldn't buy oil anywhere in the world. They couldn't maintain their industrial capacity without oil. They couldn't maintain their navy without oil. We forced them to attack. And that's what it was all about, ladies and gentlemen. We forced the Japanese attack. We knew it was coming. We left those boys there to die because you needed an excuse. You needed to rally the American people behind the government for this coming bloody war. After all, the First World War hadn't brought about the world government. The goal was a world government. And so we needed a Second World War. And, of course, we could go into the background of a diary of Secretary of War Stimson talked about, you know, the fact, I'm sorry, that it said they talked about the fact they knew the war was coming. But among Colonel House's papers there at Sterling Library, came across a letter from Ambassador William Dodd to Colonel House. And the letter simply was asked Colonel House, why are 100 American corporations over here building the weapons for the Germans? Nobody wants another war. Why are 100 American corporations over here building the weapons to build up the German army? Everybody's afraid of another war. We just got through with this terrible war. We have those papers. I copied them. Anybody out there who wants to read them, to hold them in their hand. And when you understand, Chris, this takes us at more recent books we have, specifically the book by John Loftus, America's Nazi Secret, where he names many of the 100 American corporations that built the weapons that were to be used to kill our boys. And it wasn't just they built them before the war. They built them all during the war. American banks financed the Nazis. There were 10 major American banks headed by Brown Brother Harriman. And, of course, you remember who were the staff were, senior staff were of Brown Brothers Harriman, a man named George Herbert Walker, for whom George Herbert Walker Bush was named, and then a man named Prescott Bush, who, of course, was the father of George Herbert Walker Bush. And Prescott Bush and George Herbert Walker were on the senior board of directors of Brown Brother Harriman that financed the Nazis not only before World War II, but during World War II. And actually, Prescott Bush was indicted after the war. Of course, they got their people and bribed people or killed people so that the charges were eventually dropped and nothing seriously was done. But Prescott Bush was actually indicted for financing the Nazis during World War II. And just as today we're financing the terrorists, we're financing the Muslim Brotherhood, we're in preparation for World War III. So that's the background of World War II, and you can get the books Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, and of course we carry these books, and of course you can get John Loftus' other book, The Secret War Against the Jews, and my interviews with John Loftus. They're 4 CDs. The War Against the Jews, Charles Higham's book, Trading with the Enemy, and of course we have the book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan by our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, it's open lines, and of course, open lines means you're supposed to be calling in at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But right now, we have Dee calling from Post Falls, Idaho. Hi, Dee. How are we doing?
Oh, as good as can be expected, I guess. I heard the debate.
And what was your impression?
My impression is that they're both despicable enemies of the Constitution, and they both believe in class warfare, even though Romney likes to pretend that he doesn't.
Well, you have to understand that the trilateralists put Obama in power. Now they've shifted to Romney, but they do this. They change from candidate to candidate. But have you ever wondered why they don't allow the libertarian candidate who's on the ballot in most of the states to participate? Why they don't allow the Constitution Party, who's certainly on the ballot in most of the states, to participate? Because they only want to give you two choices and to give you the idea that it's one or the other. They don't want the American people to have a choice. All they want is an echo. Go ahead, Dee. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, my comment would be the strongest possible message would be to vote for none of the above, to vote for either Gary Johnson and or Virgil Good and or write in Ron Paul.
All right, fine. Anything else you'd like to come up with?
Hold the thought.
We'll be right back and give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. our guest, of course, so is you tonight. It's open lines. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We have D calling from Post Falls, Idaho, and he's suggesting you vote for a third-party candidate, but he also recognizes the spiritual nature of the battle we're involved in, and I think he agrees that we have to educate people and bring them into the battle, but we also have to bring them before the Lord, is because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and where the Lord has been removed from our schools, or when the Lord has been removed from our most of our entertainment, why, of course, we're laying the foundation for tyranny. God bless, and thanks very much for calling, Lee.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call, and we'll be back here in just a moment. We'd love to hear from you. We'd like to know what you would like to talk about. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 464-8295.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and if you saw the debate tonight, we'd like to know what you thought of it. I mean, what do you think of the candidates? Certainly, the same people control both Obama and Romney, but you must understand the trilateralists put their all their efforts behind Obama 4 years ago, and now they switch to put their efforts behind Romney. Now, how do we know that? Well, one of the things you can do is read the articles by Mortimer Zuckerman, and you can get those certainly on Drudge Report. Has a link to Mortimer Zuckerman, but he is the publisher of U.S. News and World Report, and Mortimer is a brilliant individual, and his latest article tells us why we should be voting for Romney, why Obama is bad, and of course he is simply a manifestation of the views of the elite who control both political parties. These people of great wealth, there's only about 80 of them, but at least a dozen of them were in Obama's initial cabinet or his advisors, and you can be sure that they surround Mitt Romney today, and they're going to control him when he becomes the president. Right now we have Dave calling from New York, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open line Tuesday. Hi, Dave, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I listened to the debates on AM radio tonight, and I certainly don't trust Obama at all, and the business experience of the other fellow, I think he's...
You're talking about Romney, go ahead.
Romney, right. Yeah. I think he's got good business experience, and I think he will, and I do trust him. It doesn't mean he's going to come across 100%, but I'd say in the 90s, I think he'll do what he says. I think he's got principle. What do you think, Dr. Stan?
Well, I think that Romney is probably basically a moral individual. Certainly Obama isn't. I go to meetings all across the country, and on several occasions I've had people come up to me just out of the blue, people I never met before from Chicago, and they say everybody in Chicago knows that Obama was bisexual, and of course that he was a crook. And these are people who knew him from the city where he lived. So I do not believe Obama is an honest or moral individual. I think we can see that in his policies. I will say for Romney, I believe he's a moral individual, as far as I can tell. Certainly he's always been true to his wife. He supported his wife, even though she's very ill. And basically... now, he has made all sorts of compromises with the Trilateral Commission, and he surrounded himself and taken their advisors unto him. But certainly, of the two, if we only have two choices, he is a more moral individual than the other one. Everybody's going to have to make that decision as to who they're going to vote for. One of the things that really concerns me is, of course, the Obamacare, which I believe is a genocidal program. It is going to be utilized to suddenly withhold medical care from the elderly to destroy our already partially destroyed healthcare delivery system. I think that probably Obama, certainly if he controls, if the Republicans control both the House and the Senate, certainly Romney would go along with this repeal. That would be about the only thing I could really say of the difference between them. But I will tell you that the trilaterals are backing Romney, so I think that probably he's going to win. It's not a very good choice, but at least I think he is basically a moral individual. And he's a Mormon. I never knew a Mormon I didn't like. I disagree strongly with their theology, and I just hope and pray that they would study the background of the Mormon faith and realize that it came out of Masonry, that Sidney Joseph Smith was a Mason. And probably the reason he was killed was because he revealed some of their secrets. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's open line, so we'll take your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment, if you'd like to talk about the election. And I will tell you, it's very, very difficult to decide what to do, since we know that both political candidates are really certainly under the domination of the Trilateral Commission. But would, of course, Romney have the courage to stand up to the trilateralists if he was in the presidency? Certainly, he has compromised all sorts of principles to get to where he is today, changing his position repeatedly. But basically, Bigley, is he a moral individual? I rather think that he is, at least everything I've seen about him would appear to be. And but you're going to, each individual out there is going to have to make that painful decision as to who to vote for. Now, there are a lot of other things here in California. Where I am, of course, there's Proposition 37 on genetically modified food. That is a must legislation. I would love to see that get through. The initial polling showed that there was a three times more people wanted that legislation, which it basically requires a labeling of genetically modified food. That's all it is, just to label genetically modified food, say it's got genetically modified food in this product, and people have a right to know. And of course, they've launched a massive campaign to confuse the issue. The last thing they want is for people to understand that genetically modified food is designed to kill people. It gives them cancers. It gives them, certain of them cause the destruction of the liver, the kidney, the pancreas, the spleen. Certainly it produces infertility. They know all of these things, marked increase in the incidence of cancer of the breast in rats, of course, female rats that ate these genetically modified food. And here in the general population, we're seeing an epidemic of breast cancer markedly increasing. But anybody who talks about the danger of genetically modified food is immediately attacked. So here in California, the propositions are important. Certainly, no vote on 30, no vote on 38, both of which are increased taxes. A yes vote on certainly on 37, and if you like, why we can go over at least the propositions in California sometimes before the election, or you can go up on my website. We've actually posted our recommendations for the propositions in California. Now, I know that won't be used to people outside of California, but I think it's important. Basically, we're going to have our friend Art Robinson, who's running for Congress up there in Oregon. He deserves your help. I've known Art for probably 20 to 25 years. He's a man of integrity. He has a PhD. He actually left the security tenured position at the University of Southern California. Both he and his wife are professors there, and they simply picked up and left. And they left because, of course, of the corruption inherent in academic medicine. He set up his own study group on a farm there in Oregon, where he's continued doing his research. Well, suddenly we've got open lines. So we've got a couple of people calling in. It's Open Line Tuesday, so give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Brian calling from Durham, Michigan. Hi, Brian. How are we doing?
Hey, this is Bruce. Yeah, Bruce from Durham, Michigan.
Go right ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah. I think the cultural rot is so bad in this country, it doesn't matter who the president is. It's laughable almost to hear some of the preachers on TV. You know, they're quoting the "if my people who are called by name will repent" over and over again, and thinking that Romney will get in like Reagan and suddenly God's wrath will be stilled. I don't think so. The cultural rot is too deep in this country. But I did have a question about EMP. It's slightly off of the course here, but I watch Jim Baker. And he shows, I don't watch the TV show Revolution, but he shows some clips from this Revolution television series. And they claim on that EMP would affect even batteries. Now, have you heard anything about this, that EMP could affect batteries? Or is it just certain kinds of batteries?
Like, well, I really don't know. I wouldn't think that it would affect batteries.
No, but
it can affect cars because they have computers in them. It can affect certainly anything that is highly electronic. Certainly the old cars would run, but anything, the more modern ones, wouldn't.
It wouldn't affect chemistry.
Beg pardon?
It wouldn't affect chemistry.
No, I wouldn't. I really wouldn't think that it would affect batteries. It's a very interesting program. I don't know where it's going. I'll have to admit I am watching it. We record it, watch it on the weekend. I want to know what they're telling people. But I do believe that certainly there is a danger, a very real danger for an EMP attack. In fact, one of our speakers at our conference this weekend here in Santa Cruz is going to be Ambassador Henry Cooper, and he's going to be talking about danger of an EMP attack. And we don't even have to have an EMP attack. Actually, you can get a massive solar flare that'll do exactly the same thing,
right.
Would fry our generators and our transformers and knock out electricity, not only in America, but throughout the world. But the real crux of this whole thing, Bruce, is that basically this was presented to Congress. There was a great deal of effort to convince them that we needed to take action for a couple of billion dollars while we could prevent this catastrophe from happening. Oh, it might be a few localized areas, but we would not simply destroy the infrastructure of our country. And Congress, in its wisdom, voted for the legislation. It went from the House of Representatives to the Senate, and it was totally blocked there by one person. And it's never been brought back. And since it would be so easy to prevent this catastrophe from happening, you have to ask yourself, why did they block this, and why aren't they trying to do anything to protect us, either from an EMP attack or the effect of a solar flare? You have them about every 100 years, and the last one was in 1850, 1859. Why? And I don't know, I'm suspicious. Go ahead, Bruce.
When I was younger, my eyes were better. I used to watch variable stars all the time. There are sepias, which are very regular. Then there are these long-term variables, and then the irregular variables, like Mira. I think that's Omicron Ceti. There are a couple of Chi Cygni. That's another one. Very irregular stars. And at the time, this is back in the early 80s, I was reading in astronomy and other magazines that they postulated a Maunder cycle of about 180 years for our sun. You know, the sunspot cycle is around 11 years. Then a Maunder cycle of about 180 years. Then a grand cycle, it could be thousands of years. And each of these cycles were like sine waves. And on each of the sine waves were the smaller cycles. So you'd have 11-year cycles on top of the 180-year Maunder cycle, and then 180-year Maunder cycles on top of the grand cycle. Now, I wonder if our government knew about this back in the, you know, maybe the mid-50s. And is it possible that they're messing with the atmosphere, you know, with these contrails and stuff, in order to try to minimize a Maunder maximum, a coming Maunder maximum or a grand maximum? And if it fails, they just won't tell us. But if it succeeds, it may help us from having a disaster from, you know, like one of these super solar maximum.
Bruce, I don't think that they're really interested in protecting us. I believe that there are people working within our society who want to destroy industrialized society, who want to do away with electricity. They want to deindustrialize our society and impoverish our people. That is the purpose behind Agenda 21, the talk we're giving this weekend.
Yeah.
So basically, I don't think you could be right. I'm not saying you're not, but I really don't think this is why they're doing what they're doing with the chemtrails and the contrails and the spray.
You know what? They're real. I've got a friend who always insisted they're real, and I said, oh, you're nuts. You're just paranoid. But one day I was over at my brother's out on his deck, and you remember that Star Trek episode, the Tholian Web, where those two spacecraft go zigzag back and forth and they make like a grid, then the Enterprise gets stuck in it? There were these jets going back and forth in the clear blue sky, leaving long contrails, and a clear blue sky turned into a foggy, you know, cirro stratus sky in about 4 hours. Those jets just changed the sky.
That's exactly it. In fact, we actually have a DVD. It's called Geoengineering. You'll actually see some slides there that will show you the same thing happened. The jets going up and making a loop and go back and coming up and making a loop and going back. And it's very, very impressive. Yes, you're absolutely right. It took me a long time to convince myself it's real.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say? We do have some other callers.
No, that's about it.
Okay.
Pay real good attention to the EMP guy. I'd like to know about batteries, especially NiCad.
Well, I'll tell you what, I will ask him, and we will have a DVD on this
about a month.
Thanks very much. And let's go to, we have Mike calling from Michigan. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's open line, so give us a call if you have a question or comment. Hi, Mike, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I wanted to talk about them seeds, but first I just hope that Jesus would bless you with good health and that your youth would be renewed like the eagle and your be healed by his stripes, Dr. Stan.
Well, I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Yeah, the seeds I heard him talking about the other day, I was wondering, you know, a couple things. Where can we get seeds that aren't like that? And if I, like, out of my garden this year, I save seeds, would those seeds be damaged, the ones that I'm getting out of the vegetables?
No, if they were good vegetables, then they'll be good seeds. Basically, we had Buck Akili on with us last year. I don't know that he'll be coming back again. But certainly go up on the Internet and look up Buck Akili. He has heirloom seeds. Hopefully, he'll advertise us, certainly in the spring. But if he doesn't, go up to his website, Buck Akili, and he has good heirloom seeds. Okay?
And as far as these presidents or these people running for president, you know, it seems to me like, you know, like people that I know that I can watch and see that, you know, that they do good things for people and they're good people and they you can see the fruit of it and that. And so we have these presidents and vice presidents. Basically, they're always people that I really don't know who they are. They can't never come up with all this good stuff that they're doing. But then all of a sudden when they're running for election, they're going to do all this supposedly good stuff, and none of them never seem to get almost none of it done anyways, and so, you know, it's just a bunch of hogwash.
Well, I think about the only one that I'm impressed by at all is Paul Ryan. I think that he's what he appears to be, but who knows? I don't know him personally, but certainly from what I've read about him, what I've heard him say, I like him, although he is following the Republican Party line of pushing for the war in the Middle East. Whether he believes in it or not, unfortunately, he has to follow the party line. I'm disappointed that he does, but then that's the reality of the position he's in. But I would tell you, I would have feel far better if he was the president than Romney, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Anyway, thanks very much for calling. Anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Hey, Doc.
Yep.
I was just wondering, you know, because when me and the wife are out in California, they were $39 billion behind. I think L.A. was like $500 million in debt when we were out there a couple of years ago. We have some friends out there. And so I was wondering, how bad is it now? Is it worse? Is it a little better?
It's a lot worse, and it's going to get even worse yet. God bless. Thanks very much, Mike. And, all right, let's go to Bill calling us from the great state of Washington. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's open lines. Give us a call. We'll talk about what you want to. Hi, Bill. What part of Washington are you calling from?
Pasco.
Okay, good to have you with us. You have a question or comment?
I was wondering what you thought about the fact that that Rand Paul turned around and he decided that he was against Romney's foreign policy after all. And he seemed to come out and kind of at least appear to have an anti-war position after he had already endorsed Romney. So it seems like now maybe he's turning around and
well, I think he made
the
a
position
I
that Ron Paul had taken.
I think that Rand Paul made a mistake when he endorsed Romney. His father, Ron Paul, would not. And I certainly applaud the fact that Rand Paul today is standing up and saying, no way, we do not need to go into this war, and certainly is opposing Romney on the war. The Republicans, both political parties will follow the war line, but of course I'm really very much disappointed that the Republican leadership is intent upon taking us into a much larger war over there in the Middle East. But I certainly am pleased Rand Paul has had the courage now to stand up. He's young. He made a serious error. But we all make mistakes. I don't want to talk about all my errors. I made an awful lot of them. Anything else, Bill?
Yeah, I just hope that he continues to make anti-war positions. And, you know, I hope that he continues to influence the public with his anti-war position, because this debate is not even discussing the $700 million $1 billion military budget, or the $700 million, or the bait is everywhere, or anything, or the torturing people, or assassinating teenagers, and they're not even saying anything on the debates about
But they're not going to say anything of any importance at all. In fact, Romney doesn't even, defend himself against the charge that he's only paying 14% of his income tax. Basically, of course, he makes his money by capital gains and by dividends, not simply by regular income, and he never defends himself against those charges. At least Romney has given a large part of his income to charity, far more than Obama has. Hey, thanks very much for calling, Bill.
Okay, Romney also owns the surveillance equipment through his company for his spy on the Chinese through his Bain Capital company.
Okay, fine. That didn't know that. Thanks for letting us know. Again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you're out there in the listening audience, give us a call. We've got Tony from Michigan. Hi, Tony. How are we doing?
Hi, you're doing great. You said something that perked my interest when you said Paul Ryan. That's when I call you. I said, let me call it. But that's what I was looking for. I was really first for Santorum, but they got him out of there. And I'm looking at moral issues, period. If we do the moral things like abortion and marriage between a man and a woman, God will do the rest. He will do the rest.
Well, you're absolutely right, Tony, but unfortunately, an awful lot of people just don't understand morality anymore. They pretty well undermine. Yeah. But go right ahead.
God is watching.
Right.
Okay,
so who are you going to vote for? Have you decided?
Uh-uh.
Okay, fine. Uh-uh. You don't have to tell me, because I'll tell you what's going to be.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I'm looking at what God's going to do.
Okay, well.
Everything will be for God's purpose.
Amen to that.
Whatever goal is going to be for God's purpose.
God bless you, Tony. Thanks very much.
God bless you too, Sam.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. You can join the Radio Liberty family supporters. You can get some of our products or donate, or if you have a product you'd like to advertise it, we'd consider carrying ads, although we will not carry ads for things I don't believe in. But if you'd like to get in touch with us, our number 1-800-544-8927. Now, of course, as you know, we do have a line of health products because we think that this is that you need to be taking vitamin D3, considerably D3. Most people are deficient in D3. Most people are deficient in both selenium and magnesium. And basically, of course, you need multivitamins. Curcumin is a wonderful, wonderful medication. It's a food substance. It's a breakdown product of turmeric. But, of course, it really does help with your immune system, preventing certainly diseases related to the immune system, and helps fighting infection. Well, certainly, if you'd like a list of our health products, you can call us or go up on our website. You can call us at 1-800-544-8927. And most of the products that we carry are products that we use ourselves. We take one other product, it's Longevinex, and we'll be having Bill Sardi on next month to tell you about this. We think it's an excellent product. But, of course, you'll want to hear his discussions. You'll want to hear his one-minute spots he's putting together for us. Under any circumstances, we hope that you'd like to get our list of health products. You'd like to learn about the Miracle 2 soap products. We use them ourselves. We think that they're excellent. And then, of course, we carry the Berkey products, Big Berkey, Berkey Light. And if you already have your water filters, be sure you have extra filters on hand. We don't know what's going to happen, but certainly one of the most important things that you can have is a means of getting pure drinking water. So our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope you'll want to go there and certainly give us a call if you'd like to get a catalog, if you'd like to get the information on any of the items we've mentioned. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website. And on our website, of course, you're going to find all sorts of sites. You're going to find a lot of DVDs you can watch for nothing. You've got a lot of newsletters. I've written a newsletter from about 1995 up until recently. William Grieg has been writing the newsletter since then. But they're all posted up there, and we hope that you'll read them. There's a tremendous amount of knowledge in them. We put many of these series of talk about articles into little pamphlets of five newsletters and a pamphlet. You'll find it's well worthwhile getting and well worthwhile reading. And then, of course, we do hope that you will certainly give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because basically this is how we're able to maintain our network of what we had, over 60 stations. We had to drop some of our Saturday stations to get ourselves back into positive income. We were going way behind, but fortunately, dropping part of our shortwave and dropping some of our weekend programs. But we didn't want to drop any of our weekly, daily programs because, as you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and we have a unique opportunity of reaching people all across America. And we know that in the areas where people listen to our programs regularly, they do have an impact, and people tell people, and more people are becoming aware of the spiritual nature of the battle that is taking place today. And, of course, we have other people out there, Alex Jones, Joyce Riley, Pastor Noah Hutchings, certainly John Leffler, certainly Chuck Christmeyer, Butch Paul. We could go down the list, but pray for them all. Pray for their provision and protection, because they're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. We ask you specifically to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty. And they're going to be back here in just a moment with Lindsay Williams. Fascinating program coming up. Don't even think about changing the dial.
Be grateful. We'll
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bring you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend, Lindsay Williams. Hi, Lindsay, how are we doing?
Dr. Stan, it is so good to be with you tonight. I thank you for allowing me to be on your program.
Well, why don't you just pick up the story and tell us what your views are, and certainly you're going to be calling into that station over there in Birmingham tomorrow, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to that also, and thank you for recommending me.
All right, fine. Well, you go ahead and pick up the story.
I am so interested in what's happening with these presidential debates. Now, I'm not taking sides in any manner, but, you know, when these things happen, it is so comical to watch, knowing a little bit of the background. It was so interesting that prior to the debate on Wednesday, October the 3rd, that was the previous presidential debate, that morning, you know the person, I won't call them by name, you talked with them on the phone that time, they sent me an email and said, Chaplain, watch for certain things on that night. And then, of course, that was the night that Mr. Obama just gloriously messed up, fell all over himself, couldn't put his words together. And it was so interesting that I had already been warned in an email that morning of the obvious of what might take place that night. Now, the same thing, of course, took place again tonight with the presidential debates. And some of the same subjects were brought up, and it was quite obvious that Mr. Obama was very upset, kind of lost his place a time or two again when these subjects were brought up. And you remember, Dr. Stan, that I said on your program back, oh, it must have been, what, 6-7 months ago, you had me on, and I said that I had just talked with my elite friend, and he had said to me that they were very upset with Mr. Obama because he had canceled out on the Cross Canada oil pipeline. They wanted that so that they could bring that oil in. And he intentionally double-crossed the elite and canceled out on that pipeline. And my elite friend, I think at the time I said it's in your archives, he was so angry on the telephone, and he made a very unusual statement, which I was surprised afterwards that he had made. And he said, oh, he's a Muslim. Those were his exact words. And at the time, I questioned him, asking him what he was talking about, and he said, well, he had canceled out on the Cross Canada pipeline. The president had in favor of his Muslim Brotherhood friends because he knew the campaign, the money that they were going to give to his campaign. Well, now, of course, we come to these presidential debates, and the first one, I had been kind of forewarned that there were certain buzzwords that would be said in the course of it all, and I remembered back very carefully that they had told me that when Obama canceled out on the Cross Canada pipeline, that it had caused a lot of problems and dissension between the elite and Mr. Obama. Then we came to that first debate, and Mr. Obama was like a child that had been caught with his hand in the cookie jar. It was actually so comical to watch him. Here is a man that has charisma galore. He can mesmerize his audience. In fact, he, frankly, can hypnotize his audience. And all of a sudden, he was stumbling all over himself, couldn't get his words together.
Lindsay, do you think that this is all staged? Do you think this is preordained? Do you think that we are simply watching some sort of an act being put on? What's your impression? Is this intentional on his part?
Well, I know this. I mean, this is a fact. I've known this for the past 7 months. They did not want Mr. Obama back in again.
All right, fine. We'll be back in just a moment. thought, well, I guess it's Lindsey Williams, and Lindsey's saying that he has heard from his friend in the elite that, of course, that they want Romney to be elected, and if they have their way, Romney will become the next president of the United States. And this is what I'm getting from my contacts, and, well, of course, not really contacts. I don't have good contacts like Lindsey does, but I know who the elite are, and certainly one of them is a man named Mortimer Zuckerman, a very brilliant man. I really enjoy reading his editorials in U.S. News and World Report, and if you read his last few editorials, it's very obvious that Mortimer Zuckerman, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Mortimer Zuckerman, representing the elite who run America, wants to get Romney in. So go right ahead, Lindsey.
Well, this is exactly what I heard also, but I heard it numbers of months ago from my elite friend when he said that the first issue, of course, was cross-county pipeline. Now, there are three things that if you're taking notes tonight, and I hope you are, you definitely are going to need pencil and paper here in a moment or two when I come down to some other things that I want to bring out in relation to the dollar. You know, I've made the statement now based on what my elite friend has told me for, at least a year and a half, that by the end of 2012, the dollar would be dead. I still stand by my statement, and I hope you have pencils and paper so you can write some notes down about that in just a few moments. But for right now, the three items that caused Mr. Obama to completely lose it. He actually was scared stiff. He was disoriented. He was speechless in that previous one, October the 3rd. And tonight, some of these same things were brought up. Now, write them down, if you will. Number one was Cross Canada Pipeline, which I have already mentioned. Number two was the Dodd-Frank bill. You may have noticed it, and if you didn't, and you didn't catch it, go back to that Wednesday, October the 3rd, presidential debate, and look when the Dodd-Frank bill was mentioned. And he just completely became speechless. I mean, he really couldn't put his thoughts together. And the reason why is because Mr. Obama had pushed that through. He did it in favor of some of his friends. And it was a double cross of the elite. And in that Dodd-Frank bill is a Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. And you've noticed that Mr. Romney stated outright that he will rewrite that bill. Well, when he said that, it completely disoriented Mr. Obama. And then the third item is production of American oil. And I watched for that tonight in the debate. And it was brought up time after time again, and every time it was brought up, you could almost see the wrinkles come out of Mr. Obama's face, because he knew very well. It's almost as if the elite had slapped Mr. Obama in the face, and it was so obvious. Anyway, just thought I'd bring those up tonight, Dr. Stan, because there were some things there that were, in one way, comical. In another way, I don't know whether I should feel sorry for him or not, really, but it was so interesting to have received that email back that morning before the debate that night. Okay, now the next item, please, this is so vitally important, and I hope you've had time to get those pencils and paper, because I want to give you the 12 items that were just given to me. Yeah, you heard me correctly. The items that were just given to me in relation to the American dollar, our greenback, our Federal Reserve note, our currency, and the statement that was made to me probably a year and a half ago, and I put it in my presentation this year, which I did about a year ago, entitled 2012, The Beginning of the End. It was recorded, so nobody can say I didn't say it, that by the end of 2012, the dollar would be dead. And I want to list those items right now and show you where the status of this is in the mind of my elite friend. Now, take these dates down. Number one, February of 2012. Now, before I go any further, let me state that all of these things have taken place in the year of 2012. I'll give you dates for many of them. Everything has happened since January the 1st of 2012. First of all, February of 2012, the largest trade agreement that was ever signed in the history of the world was signed between China and Japan. Now, China being the second largest economy in the world, Japan being the third largest economy in the world, and China and Japan on that date signed a trade agreement that they would trade amongst each other products. Now, go to Walmart or Target, and nearly everything you'll find there will be either marked made in China or made in Japan. But yet these two great trade countries have said, we will buy and sell and trade amongst each other, and we will not use the American dollar. Can you imagine the billions of American dollars that will not be needed any longer in the reserve currency of the world? Are you catching this? As long as you and I, everyone out there listening to this program, and Dr. Stan, you and I, as long as you and I have known it, and Dr. Stan, you and I are not too far from each other in age, but as long as we have known, the American dollar has been the reserve currency of the world. Anyone, any big countries like China, Japan, India, all of these countries, they use the dollar for the sale and trade of products because that's all it was out there. That's what they had to do. If they were going to sell amongst each other, they would automatically do it, and they would use SWIFT, which is the Society of Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, in order to transfer the money. And it has always been the American dollar that was used as the reserve currency. And, number two, it has always been the American dollar that is used as the petrodollar. Never since crude oil became the great motivating force of our modern-day industrialized world, the American dollar has always been called the petrodollar, and no country ever did business in selling and trading of oil unless they used the petrodollar. It's not that way anymore. Since January the 1st, now this is explaining why the dollar will be dead. I did not say non-existent. Many of you have heard me as I've used this phrase. The dollar will be dead by the end of 2012, not non-existent. I know you can still go to the grocery store. You can still use it today. So you say, Chaplain, why are you saying it's going to be dead? Well, here we are. February 2012, China and Japan signed the agreement. No more use of the American dollar when we sell and trade amongst each other. Number two, on September the 7th of 2012, China and Russia. Now, you'll find this if you want to go on the Internet. Look under China Daily. And you'll find an article about this on September the 7th, 2012. And China and Russia said, we are going to sell and trade products amongst ourselves, and we will not use the American dollar for the sale and trade of those products. Well, here's a few more billion American dollars that is no longer needed that's out there in the marketplace. Number three, China and Brazil. Please go to an article in BBC, British Broadcasting, and look up China and Brazil, and they just signed an agreement that they likewise will trade amongst each other, and they will not use the American dollar for the sale and trade of their products. Now, you remember, okay, let me go on down further, and then I'll get back to the BRICS part. Now, let's go to the next one. The next one is China and Australia, and you'll find this in the Financial Express. There's an article. I'm telling you where to find these if you want them. China and Australia just signed recently an agreement that they will trade amongst themselves and will not use the American dollar. Here is a few more billion American dollars not needed any longer in world trade as a reserve currency of the world. Then the next one, India and Japan. I hope you saw this one. It is the largest currency swap deal of 2012 was India and Japan. Reuters carried a news article on this, and they said that they had just signed an agreement that they would sell and trade each other their goods, and they will not use the American dollar in the sale and the trade. The next one, please write these down, and you're going to see these become a major issue. The next one is India and China are buying oil from Iran. You remember that the United States of America put sanctions on Iran about the same time that the UN did And at the time, they said, you can't use the American dollar any longer. If you're buying oil from Iran, let's see, I think it's about 2.5 million barrels of oil per day Iran produces. And they said, okay, you can sell your oil if you can, but you cannot use the American dollar. Well, India and China both needed that oil desperately. They said, no problem. We'll just ship you outright gold for the payment of your oil. We'll bypass the American dollar altogether. The next one, Iran and Russia. Now, you'll find an article in Bloomberg on this. Iran and Russia, Russia said, we want to do business amongst ourselves, and we can coordinate the selling of our oil because Russia is the number one supplier of crude oil on the face of the earth today, bypassing Saudi Arabia as of last year. And Iran and Russia said, okay, we will likewise and not use the American dollar in any of these sales and trades since America has put sanctions on you. The next one, China and Chile signed a new agreement just recently and that will not use the American dollar in products that we sell and trade amongst each other. Then there is the next one. Please write this one down. China and the United Arab Emirates. You'll find CNN announced this just recently, and they said, we are no longer going to use the American dollar when we're selling and trading products amongst ourselves. Dr. Stan, I thought I heard the music there.
You do, but you've got time for one more if you have it.
Okay, the next one, China and Africa. And please write this one down. Africa's largest bank, the Standard Bank, said that it will now handle any transactions necessary between China and Africa. And right now, China is the number one supplier of products to Africa.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. understand, and Lindsay is simply pointing out that so many of the countries in the world, whether it be China and Russia, have said that they will trade oil, but of course they're not going to use the dollar, and certainly the BRIC nations, certainly Lindsay has listed probably 12, 14 different agreements with the major nations of the world that are going to stop using the dollar as a matter of trade. And when that happens, of course, it means that the dollar is no longer effective. He says it's going to be 6 to 8 months before it becomes apparent that the dollar is no longer being the primary currency used in world trade. And when that happens, the trillions of dollars that are out all over the world being held as reserve currency by countries are going to be disengorged. It's going to be sent back to America. And when that happens, there's going to be significant, if not catastrophic, inflation. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
All of this has happened since January the 1st. Yes, every bit of it. This has never happened before in the history of the American dollar that nations like this have said, we do not need your currency any longer. The policies of our government, the national debt of $16 trillion, the nations of the world are becoming literally scared to death of the American dollar. They don't trust us any longer. They don't trust our currency to be used any longer. They know that this currency has to, at some point, collapse. They do not want to be holding that currency when it collapses. They are trying to devise a method whereby amongst themselves they can sell and trade without using the American dollar. All of this since January the 1st, and what I'm trying to bring out so much is you say, well, Chaplain, it hasn't happened yet. No. But don't you want to prepare in advance before you see the inevitable take place? There is no possibility that these many nations and trillions of dollars, as Dr. Sand has just indicated, when these come back unused, unwanted, it is going to have a devastating effect upon the American dollar. Now, let me go to one other item that one of the reasons that the world is so afraid of the American dollar is because of what happened on September the 13th of 2012. I guess the best way to put this is that the most dastardly act that has ever been perpetrated on the American people in the history of our country as far as currency is concerned took place on September the 13th of 2012. The nations of the world see the handwriting on the wall, and they are trying to exit from the use of the American dollar as fast as they possibly can so that they won't get caught when the American dollar collapses. And it will. You say, well, it hasn't happened yet. Give it 6 to 8 months. Just watch. This currency is returning home. Now, the nations of the world see it happening. They realize our national debt. What happened on September the 13th of 2012? You heard it on the national news. It was no secret. Mr. Bernanke, chairman of the Federal Reserve, announced it, and he said, the Federal Reserve announced that it will purchase $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities and treasuries each month indefinitely. Now, $40 billion in September, $40 billion in October, November, December, January, indefinitely. He said this will continue. And when I heard that, I was appalled. I can readily understand why the nations of the world are getting out of the American dollar as fast as they possibly can.
But you know, Lindsay, it's really much more than simply the $40 billion of mortgage bonds. He's going to be able to buy another $45 billion a year, bringing that up to $85 billion, a month. The other $45 billion is going to be Treasury bills. Why? Because, of course, the Treasury has to borrow money every single month to pay its bills. It had to borrow approximately $1 trillion $1.1 trillion. That's almost $100 billion a month. And basically, they're having to borrow that money. Where are they getting it? Well, they'd like other countries to borrow it to actually buy the bonds. They're not doing it. So the Federal Reserve is actually buying, they will admit, $45 billion a month in addition to what they're doing as far as the mortgage bonds. Now another $45 billion in treasury bills. And they're probably actually buying much more than that through other sources. And it's just money they're creating out of nothing. They don't have any money. Simply the Federal Reserve simply creates money. And this is a pathway to destruction. Almost $100 billion a month, $80 billion a month. The Fed is certainly putting out there, creating out of nothing, the one-way path to inflation. We're going to be back in just a moment with Lindsay Williams right here at Radio Liberty. Off. We'll be right back and go right ahead, Lindsay. Lindsay's basically telling us certainly what is happening as far as our finances are concerned as we see the progressive destruction of the American dollar. Now, before Lindsay gets into the rest of the story, I want Lindsay to tell our listeners how they can get in touch, or want Lindsay to tell our listeners how our listeners can get in touch with him and his ministry and get his information. How can people reach you, get hold of your information, Lindsay, and then we'll get on with further discussion of the progressive destruction of the value of our currency. How can people get your material?
We just produced recently a documentary on DVD. It's 3.5 hours long. We've never done anything like it. It is a mini college education on what's happening, the derivative market. Oh, please do a crash course on derivatives immediately, and we'll help you with about 30 minutes on derivatives. And some very prominent financial people in the financial world went together with me to produce it. It's a 3.5 hour DVD documentary entitled Secrets of the Elite. Please, you have those pencils and paper handy, jot down our toll-free number or where you can go on the website. Our toll-free number is 1-888-799-6111, or you can go on the web to www.prophecyclub.com, PROPHECYCLUB.com, or toll-free 888-799-6111. And I just produced a CD which goes along with the 3.5 hour DVD presentation. It's 1 hour and 12 minutes long. You play it in your vehicle as you travel down the road if you wish, and I urge you to listen to the CD first before you view Secrets of the Elite. And then, Dr. Stan, there's one thing that is so exciting to me. You know, back about 3.5 years ago, and you knew about it, and you knew what was happening because I mentioned it to you and talked about it on the air. One of the elite contacted me, and they were angry. Oh, they were upset, and they said, Chaplain, you've said too much. You've gone too far. You can't do this any longer. Like the way you're doing it, they said, you're going to have to close down your website. You're getting too much attention. And for about 3.5 to 4 years, I have not had a website because I was ordered to close it down. And I did. And I didn't want to put up one again either. There was a man in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, who, on his own, without any knowledge of me whatsoever, just set up a website in my name. Well, we found out who he was, contacted him, and he said, please, please, please tell me when you're on the air ahead of time. Dr. Stan, he lists your program tonight in advance before we ever came on the air. And people are literally flocking to the website. I hope you'll take time to go to lindseywilliams.net. Now, if an elite is listening tonight, this is not my website. This man set it up. I give him everything that my elite will allow me to give him, daily bulletins and other things. You'll find all the listings of shows I'm on. Again, lindseywilliams.net. .net, and I think you'll find some very interesting things. And Dr. Stan, I'm excited about it because he is a computer programmer by trade, and he has set up a masterful, beautiful website for me. Okay, let's go back to what the Federal Reserve did and why the nations of the world are running from the American dollar like wild. I called up my elite friend, and I said, please, what in the world is going on? I said, they couldn't announce QE3, and notice that Mr. Bernanke didn't call it QE3. He didn't dare. Now, I know that most of the newsletters have called it that, and that's basically what it is. But he said $40 billion going to buy in mortgage-backed securities every month. And so I asked my elite friend, I said, where is he going to get $40 billion from? And the answer was very plain, thin air. Folks, did you hear me? Our economy is in shambles. The housing market, the bubble has burst. The whole country. Unemployment is running wild. Where will the Federal Reserve get $40 billion? And he said, out of thin air. And I said, they are purchasing mortgage-backed securities. Now, let me try to explain. A mortgage-backed security is your house. You heard me correctly. You went one day to some lending institution, whether it be J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, or, you know, wherever it might have been, Wells Fargo, Fannie or Freddie, and you said, I'd like to borrow money to buy a house. And they said, okay, we'll be glad to loan you the money if you will give us the house as collateral to cover the loan until you've made the last payment. So you don't own that house. You say you do, and you live in it, but you really don't. The lending institution owned it. They held the paper. Do you realize that the Federal Reserve is buying every month $40 billion worth of shopping centers, house mortgages, small businesses that are guaranteed by some piece of property somewhere? Then I asked my elite friend, I said, okay, what are they going to do with those mortgages? Are they going to take them? They pulled it out of thin air. Now, you worked hard to make that house payment. But the Federal Reserve pulls out of thin air $40 billion bought your house mortgage from that lending institution. I said, what are they going to do with those $40 billion worth of mortgages every month, indefinitely? And he said, Chaplain, they are going to take those house mortgages and invest them in the derivative market. Oh, my goodness, I was appalled. I hope you're getting this. Those of you who know what the derivative market is, your house mortgage was sold like a one-armed bandit, Las Vegas-style bet, which the super wealthy and the wealthy nations of the world use as a gambling casino, which is better known as the derivative market, and your house mortgage is going to be invested in the derivative market by a fractionally reserved method whereby the Federal Reserve can turn $40 billion in house mortgages packaged together into $360 billion every month, and over a three-month period, the Federal Reserve will have made $1 trillion off of every month's purchase of $40 billion in mortgage-backed securities. I was appalled. I was beside myself, and then I asked him the other question. I said, okay, now, the Federal Reserve has invested these in the derivative market, which is about as shaky as a one-armed bandit in Las Vegas. It could collapse tomorrow. And what would happen to your house? Owned by somebody in China or Russia or Europe? I said, now, let's go to the next step. These institutions, Fannie, Freddie, J.P. Morgan, Citibank, Bank of America, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, that held these mortgages, they are going to be given $40 billion. Folks, $40 billion, should that not pull the economy out of the doldrums? Shouldn't this help the recession? Wouldn't this bring the real estate market back to a booming again if those institutions took $40 billion and put it back into the economy? Sure it would. But what are they going to do with it? You ready? I hope you're holding on to your chair and you're very firmly seated. I hope this angers you to no end. I asked my friend, I said, what are those institutions going to do with $40 billion every month that they have now? They don't have toxic mortgages anymore. They've got $40 billion every month. He said, Chaplain, behind closed doors, there was a secretive, I'll use the word secretive. He just said behind closed doors. There was an agreement made between these lending institutions and the Federal Reserve before Mr. Bernanke ever announced what he was going to do, that they would take that $40 billion that's given to them every month and invest it in treasuries. I was floored. I was speechless. I could not say anything for a few moments. I said, I'm going to put it into help us out of the recession? No. Not going to help out the economy? No. Small businesses? No, not going to give small business loans. Not going to help the real estate market? No. Invested in treasuries? Who? Okay, what are treasuries? You've heard of T-bills. Every so many days, the Federal Reserve issues T-bills and Federal Reserve notes of different kinds, and the nations of the world, the super wealthy of the world, have flocked to buy them because they were always considered the most stable currency on the face of the earth that they could possibly put their wealth and treasuries in, and they have flocked to buy T-bills, and now the nations of the world, since they're afraid of the American dollar, have not been coming to these auctions every so many days. And as a result, last year, in the past 12 months, the Federal Reserve has had to buy 60% of its own treasury issues because the super wealthy of the world and the nations of the world did not show up to buy them. Mr. Bernanke was getting desperate. The purchase of T-bills pays the interest on the national debt of $16 trillion, which is backed up by T-bills, which have been bought over many, many years by the super wealthy of the world. Now, there was nobody to pay the interest on this national debt, and the Federal Reserve was getting desperate. I mean, literally desperate. This did not happen in QE1, did not happen in QE2. This time, they were so desperate, they said, okay, we will buy these mortgage-backed securities from you. You turn around and buy treasuries, which will enable us to pay the interest on the national debt, and they say we'll do it every month indefinitely because the Federal Reserve is in such horrible condition. Dr. Stan, when I heard this, I hope the American people realize, and I need to make a statement here now, please. I hope you'll write this down. The way that it's going on right now, $40 billion every month, the Fed, the elite of the world, will own every piece of mortgaged real estate in the United States of America before this process of $40 billion every month is finished. Did you catch this? The Federal Reserve, the elite of the world. Federal Reserve is not an agency of the federal government any more than Federal Express is. And when this is finished, they will own every mortgaged shopping center, every mortgaged house, every mortgaged small business. They will own it. They will hold the mortgage papers. Now, the only thing the elite need to do at this point in order to bring in that new world order is to so destroy the purchasing power of the American dollar that you cannot afford to make your house payment. And when you can't make it, intentionally they're doing this. Every month they are destroying the purchasing power of the American dollar by printing out of thin air or pulling out of thin air $40 billion. The nations of the world know this, and they're rushing out of the American dollar. And eventually, you won't be able to afford to buy groceries and put clothes on the back and gasoline in the gas tank and make that house mortgage at the same time because gasoline now is going up to $5 a gallon. The price of those groceries has nearly doubled. And then you'll say, well, there's one thing I don't have to do. I don't have to make that mortgage payment. Then that Federal Reserve, who now owns that mortgage of yours, steps in and says, oh, we'll have to repossess. What did they get it for? They pulled it out of thin air. And now that house you've worked so hard for, which you had a mortgage on, is owned by the Federal Reserve, and they say, we'll be glad, more than happy, just turn around and rent that house back to you. You just stay in it. And then you and your children and your grandchildren can join the New World Order. You don't need your American dollar anymore. We have a new currency for you. You say, but Chaplain, this couldn't possibly happen. Okay, I want to prove to you that it has already happened, and you might have picked up on it, but just in case, let me try to explain what happened. Instantaneously, when Mr. Bernanke made that announcement as to what the Federal Reserve was going to do on September the 13th, I want to give you some actual figures, and you go back and look them up and see if they're true. Instantaneously, upon his announcement, gold went up $49, just like that. That's 3%. Silver instantaneously went up $3. That's 9%. Gasoline went up at the gas pump right that second. They went out and changed the sign. Went up 15 cents. That's 4%. But wait a minute. Gasoline did not go up. Oh, you say, Chaplain, you just said it did. No, it didn't. No, the gasoline is 4 quarts to the gallon. That did not change. It's still 4 quarts to the gallon. What changed? The currency that you purchased that gallon of gasoline with, because the Federal Reserve pulled $40 billion out of thin air and threw it into the economy. It weakened the purchasing power of the American dollar by 15 cents at the gas pump. And this is going to happen every month from now on. Mark my words, you will see the prices inflating because the Federal Reserve is destroying the value of the dollar and the new world order. This is exactly what they want, because now they can step in and say, well, you can't make your house mortgage. We'll be glad to take it back. We'll give you a new currency, in fact. Just give up your constitution. We have all the answers for you, and it's better known as the New World Order. It's all a part of the plan. They're not destroying America at all. Someone asked me on a radio show the other day. They said, Chaplain Williams, why would the elite of the world destroy their own country? They said, you knew them those 3 years. I said, yes. I still keep in touch with some of them today. And they said, the elite are destroying their own country. I said, no, they're not. I said, you have to understand the mindset of the elite to understand this. I said, the elite are not destroying their own country at all. They are taking over the country so that they can bring in the new world order. They're not destroying America. Someone asked me also on a show the other day, what was a call in, program. And they said, well, Chaplain, where do most of the elite live? Well, I didn't know them all. I just knew a few of them. And everyone that I knew, the United States of America was their residence. There may be a few that live outside of America. And I said, they live in America. They said, well, they're destroying their own country. I said, no, they're not. I said, this is an intentional plan in order to so destroy the dollar that when your children are crying because you can't afford to go and buy food and put clothes on their back and gasoline in the gas tank and pay the mortgage at the same time, you will say, oh, please, just give me a currency. And the New World Order will step in and say, we have a currency. Your old dollar wasn't backed by gold and silver, but we've got a new currency that's backed by gold and silver. And if you just accept our new currency and give up your constitution and your rights, we'll be more than happy to just bring in a new world order where everything will be fine. And then I said, what is the real end goal of the New World Order announced by Daddy Bush, George Herbert Bush, over 20 years ago? The real purpose of all of this, bring in the New World Order so that they can turn around under their auspices and bring the world back to a condition where it is under their control.
And, of course, along with this comes the destruction of Christianity, because the motivation behind these people is not only a New World Order, but a new world religion. That's why they've taken God and prayer, the Ten Commandments, morality out of our schools, out of our society, why Christians are ridiculed at every turn. They know exactly what they're doing, because behind this whole effort to bring about a one world government is it also a desire to bring about a one world religion. Oh, you can still call yourself a Christian. They've just changed the music, the message, the very essence of what Christianity is really all about. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program with Lindsay Williams. Williams, and I do hope you have enjoyed them. And of course, Lindsay agrees with me, or I agree with Lindsay, that this is truly a spiritual battle being fought on a financial battlefield. Lindsay, thank you so very much for being with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye. Well, I hope our listeners have enjoyed the program. We're in real financial problems. Basically, we have a couple of talks. I gave them 4 or 5 years ago. One is Financial Tsunami. The other is Financial Armageddon. There are actually syllabuses that goes with those talks. You may be able to find them on my website. If you can't, why, certainly you can order them from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That is the DVD on the Financial Armageddon, the DVD on the Financial Tsunami, and then, of course, the syllabuses goes with that. You'll certainly want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll want to get Ed Griffin's excellent book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Gives you the background of the financial problems, the financial struggle that's taking place today. So if you'd like to get these items, you know how to reach us, 1-800-544-8927. Then, of course, I hope that you'll want to get my talk on The Dark Secret. It's a DVD. On The Forbidden Secret, it's a DVD, and there's syllabuses that go at least with The Dark Secret, and I believe the other one as well. But the information is there. You need to get it. You need to help us get it out. Because behind everything going on today are truly demonic forces. Certainly, if you enjoy DVDs, our friend Chris Pinto put out a trilogy, 3 of them. They were called The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. Going into the occult forces that were here when America was first created. Now, remember, the Christians were here. This was predominantly a Christian nation. But the occultists were here as well. And they wanted to use America because they'd been planning on this for thousands of years. They knew America was here. They wanted to use this hemisphere to bring about this world government. The idea is that America would always lead the way. And they would use the financial and military power of the United States to dominate the world, which is why today, why we have troops in 130 nations, 800 to 900 foreign military bases. And if you really think that we're fighting terrorism, you need, of course, to get that book on the Devil's Game, going into how American and British intelligence created the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the major organizer behind this whole world terrorist movement, and how, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood then was financed following the Second World War by the CIA and is still financed today. Now, the author, of course, thinks this is an accident. It is not an accident. It's part of a long-range plan to utilize the threat of terrorism to justify ever more power for the federal government until we are one day simply a military police state established in the name of protecting us against those wicked terrorists, just as exactly as they created communism and we had to defend ourselves against the wicked communists, and then they created and financed the Nazis, and then we had, of course, to give more power to the government to fight the wicked Nazis. And now, of course, we have the wicked terrorists or the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to have to, of course, mobilize to fight them. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that all of this is very real. It's not imaginary. Our job, of course, is to get the American people to understand what's going on. Certainly, you can get copies of our programs. You can get copies of the books we carry at RadioLiberty.com, RadioLiberty.com. And, of course, if you're in a position to help Radio Liberty, to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd certainly be appreciative because we want to maintain certainly this network of stations that carry us across America as long as we possibly can, as long as God gives me breath. So please pray for America. Pray for our ministers, our leaders, for Alex and for Joyce and for Noah Hutchings and John Leffler. But please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, my ministry, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow evening, we'll be back again. Dr. Stan saying good night, and may the Lord be with you. In a solemn prayer.
the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, wide with gold. God bless America, my home.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour radio show. 3 hours a day, we talk as much truth as we can, let you know what's happening, and today is going to be a shocker to some of you. There's a lot taking place. I'll tell you what, New Orleans, I think you have a problem. We're going to talk about some breaking news that just hit the internet last night, then was removed, and now our girl Cynthia has found it again, found some information regarding the L.A. sinkhole and what is happening, how that relates to a Home Depot in Pensacola,